worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Verses 1 through 40, all of Hebrews chapter 11. Lord, thank you for the privilege of being able to come to you in prayer every single day. And thank you for the fact that you're a heavenly Father that always, always, always has a listening ear for the prayers of your children. Father, anoint us afresh with the spirit of prayer. More and more, teach us how to pray and empower us to be the praying church you've called us to be. And Father, more and more, teach us and equip us to pray without ceasing, faithfully, fruitfully, and effectively according to your perfect will. And Lord, more and more, teach us to be a people that live faithfully by faith each and every day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. Isaac is going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for making man. Father, Genesis tells us that you made us in your own image. And Father, you've loved us so much. Father, thank you so much for the tangible love of Jesus, how closely he loved his disciples and how he told his disciples to love as he has loved them. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity that we have now to spend time with you relationally, to listen to your voice through scripture, and to spend time seeking your desires. Father, I ask that you'd grow us in maturity, grow us in scripture, grow us in wisdom, and grow us in obedience. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We are continuing to remind you about our upcoming conference that's going to happen, our Activate conference that's going to happen this summer, Thursday, June the 12th through Saturday, June the 14th, 2025, our AFA Activate conference. And the website for more information is activate.afa.net. The theme for the Activate conference is Biblical Bedrock, Building on the Authority of Scripture. And we invite you to be mindful of the fact that as Christians, we're called to be salt and light in a dark and hurting world. But an important question we can ask is, how can we even begin to impact others when we live in a culture where truth seems to be relative? Well, the key to all of it is the Word of God. Everything actually needs to begin and end with God's Word. God's Word is the foundation of all truth. It's the source of all truth. And we're to be strong students of God's precious Word. So, again, one way to counteract what the enemy's trying to do in our culture is to join us for our Activate Summit Conference this summer again, 2025, and learn how to submit yourself to the clear teaching of God's precious and powerful Word, acknowledging its authority to guide and direct every area of our lives. Keep in mind, you can register for the Biblical Bedrock Building on the Authority of Scripture Conference, and it's both for adults and children as well. The main sessions are for ages 13 and up, while Activate Kids is a separate track for ages 6 to 12. And just like the adults, the children will be learning about the authority and sufficiency of Scripture, but in a very engaging and age-appropriate way. So we hope that you will choose to come and be a part of the Activate Summit this summer. Again, those dates are Thursday, June the 12th through Saturday, June the 14th. The website again, activate.afa.net. Thank you again for being a part of our listening family here on the Hour of Intercession here. Today we're looking at the topic, Real Discipleship Equips Us for the Battlefield of Life. Again, the topic, Real Discipleship Equips Us for the Battlefield of Life. You know, the reality is spiritual warfare is going on all around us all the time, basically everywhere. It's important for us as believers to be mindful of that, but also to seek to be well-equipped warriors who know how to function fruitfully and productively as victors on the battlefield of life. I want to share with you the passage, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20, which deals very much with the importance of putting on the full armor of God. Again, Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20, it tells us these words. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Verses 10 to 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Again, we're looking at the topic, real discipleship equips us for the battlefield of life. And I use the term real discipleship because I think we live in a culture where often there are things that we call discipleship that really aren't necessarily that, maybe much at all. The fact is, as disciples, there are certain building blocks that help us to become strong, vibrant believers. Once we're saved, certain things that can basically function as building blocks that help us to become strong, vibrant servants of Jesus Christ, disciples who are following Jesus Christ. And I'm going to sum them up, and we've shared about this before, but I want to kind of draw this out further. But you could sum them up with the three letters of the word PRO, P-R-O. P referring to our prayer life, R referring to reading and meditating on the Word of God on a daily basis, and O referring to obedience. We're to live what we learn from the Word of God. And so when it comes to the discipleship, again, there are certain basic building blocks that are important for us as believers to be mindful of. These are things that we need to do to grow strong and to grow vibrant in our new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for the opportunity. You give us as your people to be disciples who are learning more about the importance of being a people given to prayer, and you're teaching us and equipping us to be a people of prayer. Thank you for the fact that you've called us to be diligent students of your word, believers who are reading and meditating on your word daily. And thank you for the fact that you've called us to be an obedient people, believers who will hear your word and obey your word. More and more empower us to be and do what you want us to be and do. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battles.
That's what we're doing tonight.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 This is how I fight my battles.
The music of Michael W. Smith with Surrounded. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Again, we're looking today at the topic, Real Discipleship Equips Us for the Battlefield of Life. And, you know, the Word of God tells us in the book of Matthew chapter 28, it shares with us the Great Commission, which is issued for the whole church. And it's wise for us as believers to understand clearly what that is. Ephesians 28, starting in verse 19, it tells us, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Again, verses 19 and 20, Matthew chapter 28. Every believer is called to be a disciple and to make disciples. We're all called to be a disciple and to make disciples as well. Discipleship is a critically important part of our lives as believers. If we genuinely know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, we're to be involved in carrying out that very important command laid down in Matthew 28. Again, we're called to make disciples, but you start with yourself. You're the first person that you're to disciple then. In other words, you're to help yourself begin to grow up and grow strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we mentioned earlier, three letters of the word pro tell us that three of the basic building blocks of genuine discipleship. P, referring to our prayer life, every believer is called to be a warrior, a man or woman given to prayer. R refers to reading. We're all called to be students of God's Word, believers who read and meditate on the Word of God daily and as a lifestyle. And O refers to obedience. We're to live what we learn. We're not to read just to say that we've read. We're to read the Word of God for the guidebook for the kingdom of God and carrying out the work of the building of God's kingdom that it is. And so we're to hear and do what the Word of God tells us as well. So those make up the three basic building blocks of the life of any and all disciples. Now, you've heard us talk quite a bit about the Ten Commandments Project, and we want to share briefly about that. But I want you to keep in mind, it's a discipleship project. And one area in the body of Christ where there's a great need for so much more guidance, strengthening, and encouragement is parents very specifically and very deliberately discipling their children. You know, it's so common that you have believers that love the Lord, go to church on a regular basis, and that's a good thing. That's a wonderful thing. We're to go as Christian parents to take our children to church. That's very important. But along with them attending church, it's important that we're doing a lot of discipleship at home. A lot of discipleship should take place at home. We often encourage Christian parents to have the habit, if they haven't started it, begin the habit of having each of your children to read three chapters aloud to you daily. Why is that important? Because the Word of God, again, pours grace, peace, spiritual nourishment into the heart and the mind of our children, just as it does in our lives as well. And the sad reality is there's so many Christian parents having their child read the Word of God at home has never crossed their mind. Or rarely has crossed their mind, or they've just simply not made it a priority to do it. I want to challenge every single parent listening an important question. If you've never had your child to read the Word of God in your home, is why have you not? The fact is, the reading and meditating on of God's word is one of the key tools, again, to genuine discipleship. It's how we grow up and grow strong in the Lord, being students of God's word. And it's how our children will grow up and grow strong as well. So reading and meditating on the word of God is very, very important. Parents, planting God's word in the hearts of your children, I can't overemphasize how important that is. And so the Ten Commandments project is a project that's clearly meant to be a discipleship project. Specifically, one aspect of the project, of course, is the speech challenge, and we'll share more about that. So I'm going to take time to read, once again, this article. If you haven't gotten it already, please email us to get a copy of the article. The article is entitled The Ten Commandments Project and Speech Challenge. We want you to learn more about it, and please help to get your children, grandchildren, nephews, nieces, maybe young people that you know or interact with in your church family or in some other capacity, but helping them get plugged into one or all of the different parts of the Ten Commandments Project can be very fruitful because, amongst other things, it's meant to be a tool to help disciple our children and to help plant God's powerful, precious word in their hearts and their minds. Again, the article, The Ten Commandments Project and Speech Challenge. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Again, Psalm 119, verse 9. Then Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119, verse 105. The Ten Commandments Project is a powerful tool to help believers and the church reach out to children and youth in our world and culture. By the power and promise of God's word, it can really help to make a big difference. We're holding a Ten Commandments speech challenge once again this year in 2025. The Ten Commandments Project is used to both share the good news of Jesus Christ with youth and to disciple them with one of the most fruitful and powerful teaching tools in all of the Word of God. That is, of course, the Ten Commandments. In our world, which seems to be set on fire by the kingdom of darkness in so many ways, the genuine answer is the powerful water of the Word of God. See John chapter 4, verse 14, John 7, 37 to 39, Ephesians 5, 26, and Isaiah 55, 1. The Ten Commandments are found in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. They share God's moral law and His great wisdom while providing insight for living a life that honors God. My wife, Birdie, and I have had the privilege of helping to lead this project in our community for over a period of a few years, and it's been both an exciting and rewarding journey. Should God call you to do this too in your community, you'll see how fun and beautiful the project really is. The American Family Association is interested in helping cast a vision for other believers, churches, and groups that would be interested in doing the Ten Commandments Project or a similar one in their own community. Just contact us at faq@afa.net or jparker@afa.net and mention my name. The Word of God tells us in Proverbs chapter 9, verses 10 and 11, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. Again, Proverbs 9, verses 10 and 11. Here's how the Ten Commandments Project works. One aspect of the project is the following. We take around a 6-week period of time to meet once a week with a group of children and youth. We've worked with children from elementary grades through high school in various venues like local churches and or boys and girls clubs. Those clubs have been a key venue in certain communities in Mississippi. We share the gospel with the children each week and invite them to receive Christ. And we teach biblical truths that relate and that are based on the Ten Commandments. We ask each child or youth to memorize in short form the Ten Commandments as seen below in this article. Upon memorizing all 10 of the Ten Commandments, each child will receive a free T-shirt with the Ten Commandments printed on the back. The shirt is a great witnessing tool also. The Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself any graven images. You shall not use God's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not tell lies. You shall not covet. When a youth is ready to recite the Ten Commandments from memory, he or she does it before their peers. Some may get all 10 on the first try, but typically many need a couple of attempts or more to get all 10. Also, when a youth is standing before his or her peers attempting to recite all 10 of the Ten Commandments, they're actually drilling each other on the Ten Commandments. During the 6 weeks of teaching, we take the time to teach the youth the meaning and importance of each commandment. We use movie clips and music videos as critical teaching tools to help teach the truths behind each of the Ten Commandments. The video tools actually help to draw them into a discussion about insights behind each of the ten. It's been a very fruitful and rewarding journey since we began this project a few years ago. We see it as a great way to begin to plant the life-changing Word of God in the hearts of our children. Also, it's clearly a proactive way to both carry out the Great Commission among our youth and to fight and protect them against many of the tragic ways and tools the enemy uses to try to pull them, our children, into darkness. A project such as this helps the church to be on the offensive, doing the work of God. The Ten Commandments become a tool to do spiritual battle in the kingdom of darkness. Here specifically is information about the Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge. We ask each participant to write a speech or to have someone to help them to write a speech based on the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me," Exodus 20, verse 3. We suggest it to be 3 to 5 minutes, although any length is welcome. Also, please use your cell phone or any other means that will work for you to record the speech. Send the recording to faq@afa.net or jparker@afa.net with the Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge 2025 as the subject line. If you need help in writing your speech, we're glad to assist you by phone. Just call me, Pastor Joseph Parker, at 662-844-5036, extension 381. We're inviting children and youth ages 7 to 17 to participate in this project. Speeches should be submitted between June 1st and June the 30th, 2025. Participants are encouraged to write, record, and send their video speech as soon as they have the opportunity during this time period. Additionally, every youth who participates is to receive a free Ten Commandments T-shirt. If a parent wants his or her child to learn the Ten Commandments and win a T-shirt without choosing to be involved in the speech challenge or any other part of the project, they certainly can do that. Have your child memorize the Ten Commandments in short form as printed in this article. Then your child should recite the Ten Commandments out loud to you by memory. After your child successfully completes this task, then give us a call. Let us know he or she has recited the Ten Commandments to you. Give us the youth's T-shirt size and your mailing address so we can send it to you. Finally, be mindful that Satan is behind school shootings and abortion, youth dying from drugs, suicide or attempted suicides, and being incarcerated as they break other commandments and reap the consequences. Our children and youth desperately need to hear the gospel and to be discipled in the powerful Word of God. Romans 1:16 tells us, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Again, Romans 1:16. There's power in the mighty Word of God. The power to save and heal us, the power to set us free from the bondage of sin. Our children and youth are being attacked from so many different directions by the kingdom of darkness. What's the answer? Putting the most powerful weapon in the universe to work in the lives of our children. That's the answer. Specifically, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Again, the title of this article, The Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge, please email us to get a copy so that you'll know what all is involved in the project. Remember, your child may choose to participate in one of the three different aspects of the project, maybe two of the aspects, or maybe all three. We're glad for them to participate, but each side of the project will result in your child drawing closer to the Lord and growing stronger in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for every believer listening. Thank you for each child and each youth that will choose to be a part of our Ten Commandments Challenge, our Ten Commandments Project this year. Father, move upon parents to take it upon themselves to help their kids to get plugged in and to become involved in this exciting project. And I pray that many will provide speeches, will put together speeches and send them in. I pray that many will choose to memorize the Ten Commandments and win a T-shirt. And I pray that many churches or groups will choose to have the teaching sessions to teach the children the meaning behind each of the Ten Commandments. And Lord, help us all to be mindful that each area of the outreach has great fruit behind it. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, as today we're looking at the topic, Real Discipleship Equips Us for the Battlefield of Life. We'll be right back. Of the group Mosaic with Tremble. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, Real Discipleship Equips Us for the Battlefield of Life. And keep in mind that when we're carrying out the work of discipleship and making disciples, we're obeying God, we're carrying out the call and the clear great commission that He's called us to. But at the same time, you're battling the kingdom of darkness. And the reality is discipleship is a means whereby we build the kingdom of God and we tear down the kingdom of darkness. So we're carrying out spiritual warfare in a very effective way when we're faithfully and effectively simply making disciples. And so we're called to be disciples and we're called to make disciples as well. And keep in mind, it's critical, as we've touched on already, that we take very seriously the work of disciple making, period, But in a sense, in a special way for our children and our young people, the reality is children often, there's so much about life that they may not know, grasp, or understand. But the fact is, even though they may be children and very young, our children have to step out on the same battlefield you and I have to step out on as well. And so, again, the best thing, the best way we can equip our children for the battlefield of life is helping them to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and then teaching them how to grow up and grow strong in the Lord. I want to share an article we've shared before, but it's about having our children to read the Word of God aloud to us as parents. But this is one of the ways whereby we equip them with the most powerful weapon in the world, that is the Word of God, teaching them to plant God's Word in their hearts, their minds. So if you want to get a copy of the article, simply email us, joseph@afr.net. But again, that title of the article is Children Who Read the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And then 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Again, 1 Timothy 4, 13. And then Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. And then Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. Many parents have never encouraged their children to read the Word of God aloud to them. It's simply not been a priority in many homes. Christian parents often take their children to Sunday school and church, and that's a wonderful thing, and it's a wise thing on the part of the parents. But sadly, having their children to read the Word of God aloud to them in their homes every day, along with church attendance, again, for many, it's not been a priority like it could or should be. Allow me to make a case for why it would be wise to change this reality in your home. Consider this important question and the answers to it. What happens when a child reads the Word of God? What takes place in the life of a young person who is faithfully taking the time to read God's Word every single day? Number one, that child is spending time with Jesus. He or she is spending time interacting with Jesus as they take time to read His Word. That child is spending time listening to the wisdom, grace, power, and insight of the Creator of the universe. See John chapter 1, verse 1, John chapter 6, verse 63, and Romans 12, 1 and 2. What more productive activity could your child possibly be doing? Number two, that young person is receiving the most powerful, life-changing, and uplifting insight in all of the universe. The transforming power of the Word of God is working on the mind and heart of this young person who's reading. The Word of God is impacting this youth in many very fruitful ways. See Romans 12, 1 and 2. Proverbs chapters 1 and 2. Number three, this youth is spending time in the presence of Christ and God. And when any person spends time in the presence of God, he or she will not be the same on the other side of that time. See John chapter 1, verse 1. Researchers at the Center for Bible Engagement found some interesting insights about the importance of and place of reading Scripture in the life of a believer. According to their research, the life of someone who engages and spends time in Scripture four or more times a week looks radically different from the life of someone who does not. They discovered that the lives of believers who do not engage the Bible most days of the week, 3 days or less, are statistically the same as the lives of unbelievers. Spending time reading and meditating on Scripture daily is much more important than so many really understand. So parents, if you begin the family habit of having your child read the Word of God aloud to you daily, great things can begin to happen in your child's heart. Why is it important for your child to read out loud to you, the parent? Because you know for sure that he or she has spent time reading the Word of God on that given day. Sometimes a parent may tell a child, go read your Bible. Maybe the child will, maybe he or she doesn't. Our children are human beings, and as much as we like to think our children will do what we tell them, that's just not always true. When you make time each day to have them read the Word of God aloud to you, you can know this for a fact. You can know that they've spent time reading the Word of God on that given day. Children and youth today are filling their minds with something. Sadly, too often, so many youths are being discipled in darkness in so many ways. Sadly, too often, it's been darkness, toxic information, and wicked worldly thinking and perspectives that they're pouring into their minds through their cell phones, through computers, through video games, through other means as well. Too many youths have filled their minds with pornography, online garbage, demonic insights from dark movies and TV shows, horror movies, etc. And too many youths spend hours playing dark video games and doing things online that are very negative spiritually, mentally, and otherwise. The blessed Word of God is pure light. There's absolutely nothing better for your child spiritually, mentally, and emotionally than the Word of God. We're told in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The Word of God heals all the ills of life. It's pregnant with the ability to bless us. The transforming power of God's Word is undeniable. It's powerful, and it's very mighty in every way for good. Beginning the habit of having your child read God's Word aloud daily is very fruitful. And it's a great way to help focus the power of God's Word onto and into the lives of our children. Today is a great day to start this family discipleship goal with your children, specifically having them read God's Word aloud to you as the parent daily. It'll help produce eternal fruit in the lives of our children. Again, the title of this particular article, Children Who Read the Word of God. If you'd like to get a copy of this article and or the one that we shared earlier again, simply email us. Again, my email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. The other article is the Ten Commandments Project and Speech Challenge. If you want to get a copy of that as well, same email, joseph@afr.net. Lord, thank you again for the opportunity, the privilege and the blessing that we have of being able to help our children come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and then the privilege of being able to help them to grow up and grow strong in their new walk with you. What a blessing it really is when we learn to take delight in having our children to sit and read your word in our homes to us, that in a way that they'll be blessed and we'll be blessed and our home would be blessed as well. What a privilege it is to teach and train them how to pray as well. What a privilege it is for us to teach them how to follow Jesus and to obey his word. Thank you for every family listening. Thank you, families throughout the world in the body of Christ. And thank you for us as the church. Thank you for us as a nation. Help us, Lord, as the church and as a nation to put you first. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, we've been looking today at the topic, Real Discipleship Equips Us for the Battlefield of Life. So in the way of encouragement to every single listener, keep in mind, every one of us is called to be a disciple and make disciples. And that discipleship starts with us, starts again with our discipling our spouses and are discipling our children in our homes, and we go and we move out from there. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never invited Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, simply pray this prayer and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart as your Lord and Savior today? If you'd like to make that step, would you pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned. I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for the wrong things that I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. You told us in your word that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to meditate on your word every day. Help me to pray every day. Help me to obey you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we're wanting very much to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us so we can share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong and vibrant in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please get in touch. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. Thanks for listening. As always, we appreciate you being a part of our listening family. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.